Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos, and again, Chodesh to all. I hope everybody is well. We are in the month of Cheshvan, Baruch Hashem, so a beautiful time to learn. Not much happening minyanei diyoma in the month of Cheshvan, because it's a very, very unusually quiet month in the Jewish calendar year, so lots of time for Limud Torah, Baruch Hashem. So I want to thank our two sponsors tonight very, very, very much. All of our sponsors, I don't know the Cheshvanos of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I believe that it brings tremendous zechusim, zechuyos, to themselves and Be'ezrat Hashem, their families, and Klal Yisrael. And it's in all of your merits that these shirim continue, Baruch Hashem. So Sherry Degani is sponsoring so nicely. Miriam Goodman, are you here tonight? Miriam Goodman, is that you? Listen to this, Miriam. Sherry Degani, you know, I always reach out to people, what are you sponsoring for? This year's being sponsored in honor of the woman who initiated this Pirkei Avos Shirim. She didn't know your name, so she left a blank dot, 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 Miriam. That's mamish, I'm quoting. This year is being sponsored in honor of the woman who initiated these Pirkei Avos Shirim. So I filled in the dot, 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 Miriam Goodman and her small circle of friends. That's what she mamish wrote. And in the merit of the sponsorship, may Hashem grant us all a year that these Shirim will not only be intellectually inspiring, but may Hashem grant us the strength, the chachma, and the bina to internalize the teachings and enabling us to achieve higher levels of closeness, Yira Shamayim, and service to Hashem Yisbarach. So we thank Sherry Degani very, very much for her beautiful words and her chizek and her divrei bracha. And Miriam, your efforts do not go unnoticed. Also, Devar Maybloom, who has sponsored in the past, and Be'ezrat Hashem, who is already sponsoring in the future as well. So, Tizki Mitzos Olamayisim Tovim, a lot of Rizos. Thank you so much. Devar Maybloom is sponsoring in memory of her mother, Gito Bas HaChaver Pinchas Tzvi Allah HaShalom, whose Yurtzai was the first day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, which is the end of Tishrei, Lama Tishrei. She was an Eishas Chayo, helping my father in his various jobs. She was loved by all and a pleasure to be with. So Devorah Meibum is sponsoring Lezecha Nishmas, her mother, Allah HaShalom, on the occasion of her Yurtzai, which was 30 Tishrei. And we hope, Be'ezrat Hashem, that the Neshama will merit an Aliyah and a Zechira Latova in the Zchus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. Leilui Nishmas Gito Bas HaChaver Pinchas Tzvi Allah HaShalom. I thank both of tonight's sponsors very, very much. So let's get right into our learning. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing and going to the sheet that I prepared for you. Here we go. Could you see it says Avos 5:2 at the top of my screen? Yeah, okay, very good. So in the beginning of Pirkei Avos Perakei, what we have is numbers. It's very numeric, and there's a lot of numbers going on. So there's, again, not much going on in Yonah Diyoma, in the month of Cheshvan at all. But Pirkei Avos does touch upon the generations of these parshas. So this week's parsha is Parshas Noach. Last week was Parshas Bereishis. In Perakei of last week's parsha, we're told about the generations from Adam to Noach. And this week's parsha, we're told about the generations from Noach to Avram. So let's look at what the Mishnah says. Asara Doros Me Adam Va'an Noach. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noach. That's in Perakei of Bereishis. Lodia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav. To let you know how patient God is, how slow to anger He is. Shakal hadaros hayu machisin uban ad shevilem esmehem abo. All those generations between Adam and Noach were increasing in sin, and Hashem was becoming very angry, but he is Erech HaPayim v'Rav Chesed v'Emes, and therefore, not until the generation of Noach did he bring the Mei HaMabel. Okay, so 10 generations after the world was created was the deluge, the flood. Asara Doros Minoach v'Ad Avram, and then there were 10 generations from Noach to Avram, because like you'll see, we actually meet Avram at the end of Parshas Noach. We do not meet Avram next week in Lech Lecha. We meet Avram at the end of Noach, just like we meet Noach at the end of the Sedra of Bereishis, so too we meet Avram at the end of the Sedra of Noach. And the Pasuk, the Psukim in Perek Yir Aleph, counted 10 generations from Shem. Noach had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafes. The Psukim in Perek Yir Aleph counted 10 generations from Shem to Avram Avinu. So the Mishnah says, Asar Doros Mi Noach Vad Avram. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Lodia Kame Erech Apayim Afanav. To let you know how slow God is to anger, the Midav Erech Apayim. That all the generations were coming and angering God. Until Avram Avinu came along and he received the reward for all of them. So we are going to be focusing tonight on the generation, on one of the generations that was between the time of Shem Noach slash Shem to Avraham Avinu. So I'm going to stop screen sharing. So that's the Mishnah, and this is the foundation of our class. There are 10 generations from Adam to Noach to let you know that God is benevolent. He is slow to anger. He is patient. All the generations were angry in God until he finally brought upon them the waters of the deluge, Parshas Noach. And then there are 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, from Noach's son Shem, to let you know how patient God is, how much patience there is before him, that all the generations were angering him and coming until Avraham Avinu came and he received the reward for all of them. So I want to go to a different screen share now that I prepared. Let me just make sure that it is here on the screen. I was preparing so many sources, Kanainar, in so many places that I left the place where I wanted to be. Okay, here we go. So let's look at these 10 generations. I'm coming back to you. These 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. We're going to do them very quickly, but this is what the Mishnah is referring to. Okay, this is, and now, some parts of the, you know, the Sedra, when we open it up, it looks drier, you know, the flood, that's really exciting, like the count of the 10 generations, but this is what the Mishnah refers to, and Rabbi Torah, he ritzarich ani lomot, and the generations are just as important as Noach and the flood, and the more exciting, putting that in quotes, parts of the Chumash are just as important as the drier, putting that in quotes, parts of the Chumash. So the Psukim tell us right at the end of Parshas Noach, Perikit Aleph, Eila toldo Shem, remember Shem is a son of Noach. Oh wait, could you see my screen that I'm in Bereshis Perikit Aleph? Okay. Eila toldo Shem, Shem ben Me'at Shana, Ve'yoler es Ar Pach Shad, Shnasayim Achar Hamaba. So Shem is 100 years old. 2 years after the flood, he gave birth to Ar Pach Shad. Okay. And Shem lived after he gave birth to Ar Pach Shad for 500 years. He gave birth to sons and daughters. Ar Pach Shad lived for 35 years. He gave birth to Shalach. And Achar Pach Shad, which is the son of Shem, after he gave birth to Shalach, lived for 430 years. Shalosh Shalim Ve'arba Me'ot Shana. And he gave birth to sons and daughters. And Shalach lived and he gave birth to Aver, as in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. And Aver lived for Arba Shloshim Shana, 34 years, and he gave birth to Peleg. And then it tells you how long Aver lived after he gave birth to Peleg. And Peleg was 30 years old, and he gave birth to Reu. And how many years did Peleg live after he gave birth to Reu? And Reu lived for 32 years, and he gave birth to Serug. And this is what the Mishnah is referring to. This is what, these are Pesukim in the Chumash. They're the same Pesukim as Ki Oschor Itzi Tzadik Lufanei Bador Ha'u. They're the same Pesukim as Anoch Hashem Elkechosh Tzisich HaMirtz Mitzrami Beis Avadim. They're from the same Chumash as Zachar Selma Shabbos Akacho. They're the same Chumash as Bereshis Bara Lekim Eser Shemayim V'Eser. It's the same Chumash, the same divine law, the same Torah. And Reu lived after he gave birth to Serug Sheva Shanim Umasayim Shana, 207 years. He gave birth to sons and daughters. And Serug was 30 years old. He gave birth to Nach. I'm right at the end of Parashas Sedra of Noach and Perak Yud Aleph. We began in the Mishnah and Perakei. The Mishnah tells us that there were 10 generations from Adam to Noach. God has Erech Apayim. He was slow to anger until finally he brought upon the Mayhem Abel. If you want to see those 10 generations, you look at the Perak He of Bereshis. And then the Mishnah tells us that there are 10 more generations from Noach to Avram, to tell you how much Hashem is Erech Apayim. All the generations angered him, but when Avram Avinu came along, he received a reward from all of them. So what did we do? We went to the Sedra of Noach, we went to Perikit Aleph, and we're looking at the 10 generations that happened from Noach through Shem down to Avram. So where are we up to? We're up to the book of the birth of Nachar. Vayichi Serug acharei holidu as Nachar masayim shana. Serug lived after he gave birth to Nachar for 200 years. Vayoled banu bebanos. Vayichi Nachar teisha ve'esim shana. Nachar, Avram's getting much younger as time goes on. Nachar lived for 29 years and he gave birth to Tarach. Vayichi Nachar acharei holidu as Tarach tsha esrei shana ume'at shana. Vayoled banu bebanos. Vayichi Tarach shivim shana. He got a little older. Yolid is Avram es Nachar ve es Haran. Terach gave birth at the age of 70 he lived for 70 years and he gave birth to Avram, Nachar, and Haran. And these are the offspring of Terach. Terach holides Avram es Nachar ves Haran, Vaharan holides Lo. So here we are at the end of the Sedra Bereishis. We made it to the 10th generation. Who's the 10th generation for our interest? Avram Avinu. And Terach had Avram and Nachar and Haran had Lot. Haran died 1128. Rashi talks about the Kibshana Ish. Vayamas Haran apnei terach aviv beres moato bur kastim. And Avram and Nachor took for themselves wives. This wife of Avram is Sarai. The wife of Nachor is Milcah, Bas Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Yiska. Very interesting family tree, which we're not doing for tonight because there's no time. Sarai was a kara, ein lo velad. Okay, so what you see is what we just went through is the 10 generations that the Mishnah is talking about and referencing when it tells us there are 10 generations from Avram to, no, from Noach to Avram, coming through Shem, we came down to Terach, and we finally made it to Avram Avinu. Now I want to go to one of the previous generations in this link of 10 generations from the time of Noach to Avram. So now what I'm doing is going back to the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. Okay? I need a footnote in the art school, Chumash Rashi, 1 second. I forgot it next to me. Okay. So now where we're going, that was the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Those we just went through the 10 generations from Noach through Shem to Avram. Okay. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph and see what happens at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. The footnote that I wanted to tell you is, from creation till the flood was a total of 1,656 years. So the flood occurred in the year 1656 from Maisa Bereishis. For reference, Avram was born in 1948. There were a total of 1656 years from creation until the flood. Okay, fine. We're not going to be talking about the Dor HaMabul. There is actually another generation who is also featured in the Sedra of Noach that's less talked about but also important, and that's the Dor HaFlaga. We have the generation who thought that they could rebel against God. These are one of the 10 generations from the time of Noach to the time of Avram. And remember the Mishnah told us, if you remember the Mishnah, Shechol HaDoros Hayu Machisin Uba'in. All these generations angered God. This is one of the generations that angered God. They were the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of disunion. So let's see what the Pesukim have to say. Actually, let me put you here because I'm going to need screen share Rashi shortly. Okay? So let's go. Vayihi kol ha'aretz safa achas udvarim achadim. This is post-flood. The flood's finished. Okay? Prakim vav, zayin, chas, tash, noach, story's finished. Vayihi kol ha'aretz safa achas udvarim achadim. Like from the word achad. And the whole earth was one language and the same words, unified words. And what does it mean they were unified? Ba'u be'etza, look at Rashi, achas v'amru, lo, kol ha'imanashiyah v'arloas. They want to make a war, they want to go up to Shemaim, and they want to make a battle with God. Furthermore, the second shot of Rashi is they said, every 1,656 years, Hashem destroys the world, the firmament of the heaven dissolves, like happened in the days of the Mabul, so we're going to make enforcement. We're going to enforce. They remember what happened in history, which is that the world was totally dissolved. And they said, they don't want that to happen to us again. So we're going to build some kind of structure to protect ourselves if the whole world dissolves again. Okay? So they journey from the east and they find this valley in the land of Shinar and they dwell there. And a man says to his friend, Hava nilbana levenim, let us make bricks. Vinisrufa lesrefa, let us put them into the urn or the kiln. After you make the bricks, you have to harden them, put them in the fire. And the bricks were the stones, and the chemer, the cement, was, how does Artzul translate it? The bitumen served them for plaster. So in other words, they're making building materials. They have plaster and they have bricks. What are they going to do with these plaster and bricks? Behold, let us build a city and a tower with its head in the heavens. V'snasa lanu shame. And we will make a name for ourselves. Pen nafutz al pnei kol arts, lest we be scattered over the face of the earth. So Rashi says, you see here, shalo yavi aleinu shum maka lahafitzenu mikam. We're going to fortify ourselves. We're going to build this strong tower. We're going to build a fortress so we cannot be scattered away from here. They don't want to be destroyed, just like the Dor HaMabul wasn't destroyed. So their idea was, we're going to go. We're going to rebel against Hashem. We're going to build this tower. We're going to be stronger than God. So Hashem descends. Targum Unkelus never assigns anthropomorphic qualities to God. So Targum Unkelus, he would say, V'iskali Hashem. Let's see if I'm right. Yes, v'ishgali Hashem. Okay, so Hashem descends to see the city, or Hashem reveals himself to see the city and this tower that the sons of man have built. So Hashem wants to see Taka. What are they doing? So what are they doing? They're rebelling against God. They are united as one nation. They have one language, and this is what they started to do. Like Edom Zomimim. And now should I hold back from them what they plan to do? In other words, they plan to not be scattered. They plan to fortify themselves. Again, where are we holding? We started in the Mishnah that tells us about the 10 generations from Noach to Avram, that everyone, kulam, they all angered the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is one of the Doros that angered the Ribbono Shel Olam in the beginning of time, because they think that they can be better than God. They can attack God. We are going to make of her ourselves a name. We're going to start a war. Behold, we will descend, God said to the heavenly angels, and we will mix up their languages. I thought it was very interesting, by the way, when I was preparing Shir, it struck me that Mabul and Navla are the same Shoresh. Upon the first generation, God brought a Mabul. Upon this generation, Navla. It's the same idea, this mixing up, this overturning. Let's mix up their language so each man cannot hear the language of his friend. Remember, until now, they all speak in the one language. And then, by a faith, so they plan to fortify themselves. They plan to be secure. And God mixed up their languages and scattered them all over. Oh, I wanted to show you Rashi. Rashi says they won't understand each other anymore. Zesho elevena v'zeh meviti. This guy will ask for a brick, and this guy doesn't understand. He'll bring him plaster. V'zeh omed alav ufotzeh esmocho. They're not going to understand each other. They're all getting confused with the building materials until finally they're so frustrated they're going to stand up and smash the guy's brains in. That's actually what Rashi says. Split open his brain, according to the Archgold translation, for not bringing him a brick. So he's going to ask for a brick. He's going to bring him plaster. No one's going to understand what's going on. He's going to be so frustrated he's going to take the brick and smash his head in. This is what Hashem did to them as a punishment for building a migdol. L'shamayim, b'shamayim, a tower in the heavens. And Hashem scattered them. Al Kane Kara Shemo Bavel. Ah, interesting. Kisham Balal Hashem Svakolards. Therefore, it is called Bavel. There Hashem mixed up the languages of all the earth. Umisham Hefitzam Hashem Al Pnei Kol Arts. And there God scattered them. And then, what's the very next pasuk? Ela Toldo Shein. So we just did the Perek out of order. We did the second half of the Perek first to go through the 10 generations from Noach, Shame, down to Terach Avram. And then we went back to the first half to see about this generation who really angered God. Shekol hadoros hayubanu machishin lefonav. All the generations angered him. Ad shebo Avram Avinu v'kibas char kulam. So we see this generation angered God. At the end of the parak tells us about Avram Avinu who came and received reward for all of them. I want to show you. So we had an overview of the whole parak. I said overview. We did not learn it in depth. We'll probably spend a year in depth or more learning this parak with all the mafarshim. But an overview, 10 generations. Avram got the reward for all of them. And we went back to the beginning and we saw an example of what it means that the generation angered the Ribbono Shel Olam. They thought that they could build a migdal into the Shamayim. They are going to rebel against Hashem. So this is a very beautiful and powerful and important Rashi. This Rashi compares Dor HaFlaga, who we're talking about right now, who appear at the end of the Sedra of Noach, with Dor HaMabel, who appear at the beginning of the Sedra of Noach. In regard to Dor HaMabel, what were their sins? So Rashi tells us what were the sins to the Dor HaMabel. So Rashi tells us, Mala Ha'aretz Chamas Lefanai, Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Es Darko. Everyone had destroyed their way. All flesh was corrupt. So Rashi says in the beginning of the Sedra of Noach and Perek Vav, what were the sins? Arayos, sexual immorality, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and Chamas, gezel, robbery, thievery. And the Mandra says, how were they stealing? They didn't steal mass on a large scale. There's someone in the market with a bushel of figs, and they stole one fig. What's the big deal? One fig. That's such a big deal. What do you need one fig for? You have 99 other figs to steal. And the next basket, she's selling dates. One date, it was petty crime. First of all, two things. Number one, that's what the Medrash says. That's what it means, a gezel. That's how they store. If everyone steals petty crime, then the lady who comes to the market with 100 figs and 100 customers walk by and everyone only takes one fig, she has nothing to sell. So you have to realize the impact of one person and one action. You think it's not such a big deal. Times that by 100, it's a very big deal. You just took away all her parnassah. Second of all, the Baal Shem doesn't care about amounts. The Baal Shem, $1 million is the same as $1. And 100 figs is the same as one fig. And one grape is the same as 4 pounds of grapes. It all belongs to God anyway. How Perik Vav, Mishnah Tess of Perik Avos ends with the puzzle from Chagai, which we've spoken about extensively. Hashem doesn't care about the amount. It's the point of not having respect for someone else's property. So to the Ribono Shel Olam, it doesn't matter if you stole 4 pounds of grapes or one grape from the container. You stole a grape. He owns it all. He's not worried about the money. You don't have to be machshav chashbonos for the Ribono Shel Olam. It's about my neshama. So those were the sins of the Dor HaMabul. Okay? The sins of the Dor HaMabul were Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Gezel. The sin of Dor HaFlagah was building a tower to rebel against Hashem. They were united. But what are they united in? Rebellion against Hashem. They say, Nivne'ir u'migdal v'rosho bashamay v'naseh lanu shem. Who does Hashem think he is? We're going to make a name. And like Rashi says, shelo yavilinu shum maka lahafitzenu mikan. We're going to prevent God from bringing any blow upon us to scatter us from here. We're greater than God. So let's look at this Rashi. It's a very gevaldic Rashi, a very powerful. Perikid al pasuk tes. Excuse me. Okay. Li made umisham hafitzam. So first it says Hashem scattered them from the face of the earth. Li made she'enam chelek olam haba. Teaches you that these people did not have a portion in olam haba. They were scattered. It means from this world and the next world. That's not the part of Rashi I want to focus on. V'chi ezo kasha. What is more severe? Shall dor hamabul or shall dor haflaga? Which generation angered God more? Remember the Mishnah. I don't want to stop screen sharing. I'll go back to the other screen share. But you remember the Mishnah actually in Parakei Mishnah Beis. No, that's Parak Aleph. Parakei Mishnah Beis teaches us. If I do this, I could put the Mishnah here, and here we go. Here we go. Can you see I switched to Pirkei Avos? I'm not in my hand up, but I'm in Pirkei Avos now. So we said, Asar Doros me Adam vad Noach, Lodia Kamech, okay. Asar Doros me Noach vad Avram, Lodia Kamech arpai mefanaf. So call Doros hayu machisin uvan, at Shabbat Avram vin kibas har kulam. So this Mishnah is comparing the 10 generations from the time of Adam to Noach, and Noach to Avram. So the kasha is, which time period is worse? Who is Hashem more angry with? A generation like the generation of Noach, who were Osek and Arayos of Odazara and Chamas slash Gaza, or a generation of disunion who is Osek and Mamish rebelling Kaviyachas, if such a thing were possible, against the Ribono Shel Olam. Who is Hashem more angry with, so to speak? Who deserves a greater punishment? So let's go back to Rashi, to Parak Yod Aleph Pasuk Tes. V'chi oizo kasha, which is more severe? Shal dor hamabul o shal dor haflaga? The generation of the flood or the generation of the disunion? Eilu lo pashtu yad be'ikar, ve'eilu pashtu yad be'ikar lehilachim, but these ones, people from the generation of Noah, did not put their hand against the Ikr, meaning against Hashem. They weren't fighting against Hashem. They weren't rebelling against God. They were minding their own business, so to speak, down here. The Elu Pashtu Yad Be'ikr, they lachen about these ones, a generation of disunion, Dor HaFlagah, they stuck their hand out against God to fight a war with God, so to speak. The Elu Nishtafu, the Elu Non Navdu Me'olam, Min Ha'olam. And those ones, a generation of Noah, they were totally washed away. They were utterly destroyed, obliterated, all of them. The Elu lo nevdu min ha'olam, and these ones were not lost from the world. They were scattered, but they weren't destroyed. They had to live in different places. Ela shadar hamabul hayu gazlanim, which I explained to you already, v'haysa meriva b'nehem. But the generation of the flood, they were thieves. And if somebody's a thief, and if everyone in society is a thief, people are fighting. It's mine, it's mine. It's hers, it's mine. Take from someone else. And there was machlokas, there was meriva, quarrel between them. Lekach nevdu. That's why they were washed away. Ve'elu hayu nohagim ahava v'reyus b'nehem. And these ones, the Dor HaFlagah, acted with love and friendship between them. Shenemar safa achas udvarim achadim, like the pasuk says when we meet them, they all spoke one language. They were all united in matters. Lo madata shesanui hamachlokes vegadol hashalom. To teach you that machlokes, quarrel, meriva, strife, disunity is abhorrent, and how great is the power of shalom, the power of peace. So you might think that the generation of the flood was the generation of disunion was worse because they're building a tower against Hashem. It's laughable, but that's what they wanted to do. So they were kofrim be'ikar, but they worked together. They were united. They spoke to each other. They were of like mind. And therefore, they weren't washed away. And the Dor HaMabul, who were minding their own business down here and not working against God, were utterly washed away because why? Kayu gazlanim v'haisa meriva b'nehem. They were thieves and there was machlokas. Lamadata shasanui ha-machlokas v'gadol ha-shalom. To teach you how despicable is quarrel and how great is the power of peace. I'm going back now to the... Where am I? My handout. Let me put you over here. Can you see I went back to my handout? It says Avos 1:18 over here. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us this is actually the last Mishnah in Parak Aleph of Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam. What upholds the world? Okay, what upholds the world? Well, in Noach times, clearly nothing was upholding the world, so it was lost. It wasn't upheld. What upholds the world? Upon three things the world is established and stands. Al hadin, justice, va al ha'emes, truth, va al ha'shalom, and peace. So in the time of the Dor HaMabul, these three things were absent. There was no din. People did whatever they want. They took whatever they wanted from whoever they wanted. There was no emes, because they said, what's yours is mine. And what's mine is mine. That's also Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And there was no shalom. We just saw it in Rashi. There was meriva, amachlokas b'nehem. So in the time of the generation of Noah, these three pillars that held up the continuity of the world were absent. Din, emes, and shalom were all not there. So what happened? Nevdu min ha'olam. They were totally lost. But ironically, in the Dor HaFlaga, even though they were rebelling against God, between each other, they worked together. So you see that the world was not destroyed. They needed to be scattered. There was consequences to their actions. But because they lived in a society of din, they worked together until their languages were mixed up and they were smashing each other in their brains. But until then, they worked together. There was MS. They knew what they were doing. They were working for a purpose. And there was shalom. You saw the Rashi. And now the Mishnah quotes a pasuk from Zechariah, Emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem, to prove to you that the world is upheld. The Mishnah, this is also Mishnah in Perek Aleph, so now we enter the end of Perek Aleph. Emes, truth, u'mishpat shalom, justice of peace, shiftu b'sha'areichem, you should judge in your gates. The next thing you see, says Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau takes us on this Mishnah in his commentary to Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau points us to Bereishis Parak Aleph, Pasuk Gid Aleph. When Hashem is creating the world, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Elohim said, Tadshe ha'aretz desha, Esev mazriya zera, Eitz pri osa pri lemino, Asher zara bala aretz vayhikain. The Pasuk says, by Maisa Bereishis, when Hashem is creating the world, Elohim said, desha is grass. Right? Let the earth sprout its grass, herbage, greenery, ace of Masriya Zera, plants that make seeds, seeding plants, eight pri, osa pri, a tree of fruit, making fruit, lamino, according to its kind, that the seed is in it upon the earth, and so it was. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau points out, Dasha, I bolded it for you, Dasha is an acronym. When Hashem said, let the earth sprout Dasha, what was he saying in order? What was the Rabban Shalom teaching us? Dasha is an acronym, I put it on my notes, you could see it right here, Din, Emes Shalom, or Din Shalom Emes. It's really, so I wrote a lot of order. Din, obviously the Dalet stands for Din, the Shin stands for Shalom, and the Aleph stands for the Emes. And Rabbi Shalom Meir Lau says that this is what is necessary components for holding up the world. So somewhere embedded into Maisa Bereishis, if like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, then that means there can't be a world without these three components. You have to have them. Or says Rav Lau, when Hashem created the world, he embedded these components into the very soil, into the very herbage, into the very foundation of the earth. Tadshe ha'aretz desha, let the earth sprout. Din, dalid, shin, shalom, aleph, emes. If we want there to be continuity to the world, we have to uphold these three things. And ironically, it's very ironic. We learn it from other none other than the Dor HaFlaga. Who were the Dor HaFlaga? Shakol ha'doros hayu machisin uvayin. They were angering God and they continued to anger God. But they knew how to get along. I don't think that needs any commentary, even though I'm giving commentary. Really, my commentary is from all other sources, really in the Chumash and the Mishnah and Nach. That's frightening. They were called from Bikar. They thought they could fight against Hashem. We're not going to let the God of this world do anything to us. Like he destroyed that generation, he's not going to destroy ours. But they were Safa Achaz Udvarim Achadim. Hashem said they have something beneficial. We're adding something positive to the world. They're teaching us about what the world is upheld on. How important is Shalom? So we have just seen from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Ches, that Shalom is one of the pillars that holds up the world, and it was there from the time of Maaseh Bereishis, like we saw from Rabbi Lau, Desha means Din, Emes, and Shalom. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos Yud, that you know, Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. The Gemara Maseches Yud, I'm not sure if it's Amud Aleph or Beis, discusses that Shalom is one of the names of Hashem, and that's why you're not supposed to say the word Shalom in the bathroom. So it's interesting, I know somebody, my sister-in-law's sister-in-law, but it's like close mishpacha because we see each other often at simchas, and my sister, we share a sister-in-law. So one of her boys is named Shalom, and I think I remember discussing with her that the towels, you know, sometimes you get as baby presents for babies, those hooded towels, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, the hooded towels with the name on top. So if it says Shalom, I mean, I don't have any children named Shalom, but it's a problem to take into bathroom. No one should take a piskei halacha from anything Michal, it's a saying in class. I say that all the time. You must ask your own rav. But the Gemara there, Maseches Shabbos, discusses this. A person can't say Shalom in the bathroom. Why can't you say Shalom in the bathroom? You're not allowed to talk about Dvarim Shabbakadusha in the bathroom. You're not allowed to say Shem Hashem in the bathroom. So even worse than saying Hashem, Hashem really means the name. When we say Hashem, I'm not saying Hashem's name. Hashem means the name. I'm referring to God. We don't want to say the name of Kodesh for Chol. We're not allowed to. It's an Isra Doraisa. But Shalom's actually one of the names of God. So the Gemara says, how could you say this in the basic Kisei? You can't say the basic Kisei. It's just an interesting thing to consider. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not telling you what to do. But if you have towels that say Shalom or Shabbat Shalom, let's say, and you want to put those, you know, sometimes people buy you those hand towels, tip, whatever they're called, fingertip towels, and you want to put them in the bathroom, you know, it looks nice. It's Shabbos. They say Shabbat Shalom. I'm not sure. I don't have towels that say Shabbat Shalom on them, but you have to ask because it's one of the names of Hashem. So not only is Shalom something that upholds the world, like we saw, not only did it save the Dor HaFlaga from utter annihilation, even though they were going and angering God, like the Mishnah tells us, not only is it built into the fabric of creation, Tad Sheh Ha'aretz Desha, it's one of the names of the Ribono Shel Olam. Furthermore, I didn't put it on the handle because you're all familiar with this. It's from Parshas Naso, Perek Vav, begins in Pasuk Chav Beis. Through Chav Zayin, what am I referring to? The Birkas Kohanim. I mean, you have the Birkas Kohanim. It was just the Yomim Tovim. So in Chutzarts, we were Zocha to Birkas Kohanim. In Eretz Yisrael, there's Zocha to them every day. Yivarech Hashem, Ya'er, Yisa Hashem, Panav Eilecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom. You all know how it ends. So I didn't put it in my handout. It's the final conclusion of the Birkas Kohanim. So it's one of the names of Hashem. It is created into the fabric of creation, and it's one of the three pillars that holds up the world, along with Din and Shalom, there's Emes. The Dor HaFlaga was saved because of Shalom, and they were not washed away like the Dor HaMabul, even though they were called from Beikar and rebelling against the Ribono Shel Olam. Furthermore, it's the final blessing of the Birkas Kohanim, and it is the last word in all of Shas. Shas Mishnayos, famous Mishnah, I think it's a famous Mishnah, Maseches Uktzin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yad Beis. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta, Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta says, Lo Matzah, this is the end of Shas. The end. We just went through all six orders of the Mishnah. There's a lot of teachings of the Tanaim. What's Achron Achron Chavu, so to speak? How does it culminate? What's the climax? What's the grand finale of Shas Mishnayos? Amar Rabbi Shimon Mechalafta. Rabbi Shimon Mechalafta says, Lo Matza Kodesh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Li Yisrael Ela HaShalom. HaKodesh Baruch Hu found no better vessel for holding blessing for Israel other than peace. There's a lot of things that could hold blessing. You might think money holds blessing. I don't know. You might think beauty holds blessing. You might think food and fancy steaks and charcuterie boards, yeah, and carving stations and sushi hold blessing. You might think fine wine holds blessing. There's a lot of things you could think hold blessing. Winning the lottery holds a blessing. We were driving on Sunday. We had a family simcha baruch Hashem Sunday morning in the city. So we saw the billboard. You shouldn't look at all the billboards, but this was a lotto billboard. I Baruch Hashem, a lot of billboards are still kosher. What do they have on them? The Mega Millions are the number. So it was 610 million, I think, or something. So I don't know. I don't buy lottery tickets. It was 610 billion. So we were discussing what would it be after the lump sum and after taxes? How much would they actually be, like $5? After, you know, if you take the lump sum, they take half. And then my husband said, there's taxes. I said, after the lump sum, there's taxes? There's still taxes? He says, yeah, the lump sum isn't taxes. That goes to the lottery board. Then you have to pay taxes. So I don't know why I'm concerned about this. I don't buy a lottery ticket in the first place. I couldn't believe there was taxes after the lump sum. But how much do you actually get? So I said, whatever the amount is, I would still take it. 610 million minus the lump sum, minus the taxes, whatever they leave you with, I'll take it. So some people think that there's bracha in food, in fine wine, in fancy clothing, in vacation homes, in winning the lottery. If you use it letova, it's a bracha. But what is the kli machzik bracha? Shalom. Shanamar, how does the whole shas end? Hashem ozla amo yitin, Hashem yivarachas amo bashalom. Bashalom is the last word in shas. Like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem will give strength to his nation. Hashem will bless his nation with peace. And Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnah quotes the Medrash. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says on the Mishnah that the Medrash says, Gadol HaShalom, Kishamal HaMashiach Evo, Eino Poseach Al B'Sham. By the way, this is really all the introduction. I'm not joking. So I think next week is going to be the main body of Shia. I thought I was going to do everything tonight. But I think by now I could healthy say it's the triumph of hope over experience. But this is all just the introduction. So you're going to have to remember this all. For now. Don't worry. It's okay. You could be at one and not the other. You could be at both. You could be an egg. Okay. We'll work it out. But Medrash, God of Hashem, Kishamach HaMashiach Chavo, Eina Poseach Al B'Sham. How great is Shalom when King Messiah comes to redeem us? You know he's going to announce that he's here. You know what the opening, you know what the grand entryway is? Shalom. Shanemar, and now the Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnah quotes a pasuk. He's quoting a pasuk from Yeshaya. Yeshaya, you see here 52:7, Nun Beis Zion. So what's the pasuk? Mana Avu Al Haharim. Excuse me. Raglei Mevasar. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good tidings. The Mevasar is, we said it, but we just had Hoshana Rabbah. Call Mevasar, Mevasar Va'omer. How pleasant upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good tidings. Mashmia shalom mevaser tov. The mevaser is Mashiach. The mevaser is Eliyahu Navi. Kol mevaser mevaser va'omer. Hinehu ba Mashiach tzidkenu. Hinehu ba yevavi galenu. It's such a beautiful song. I don't know who composed it. Mordechai ben David, Avram Fried, whose song is that? Mashmia shalom mevaser tov. Mashmia shalom mevaser tov. He's going to announce peace. He's going to bring us good news. Mashmia Yeshua. He will announce salvation. Omer Letzion. The Mevasar will say to Tzion, Malach Alokayach. Your king rules. So this is the pasuk that the Tosfos Yom Tov, slash actually I should say the Medrash, as quoted by the Tosfos Yom Tov on the final Mishva, brings as proof that when Mashiach comes, how's he coming? With Shalom. Because what's the first thing that the pasuk says Mashiach will announce? Mashmia shalom. Then mevaser tov. Then mashmia shalom. But the first thing he's going to announce for us is shalom. Furthermore, and with this we're going to end. And Be'ezot Hashem next week will be Bli Neder, part two. But I really hope it will be. So the pasuk in B'chukosai in Perek Chav Vav of Vayikra. Most famous, the psukim for the klalos. But before the klalos, the curses, in Bechukosai, you have a series of blessings. Hashem gives us a number of blessings. And then the pasuk says, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. U'shechavtem ve'ein machrid. I will place peace in the land. You will lay down and there won't be anyone to frighten you. So Hashem says there will be blessings in your kneading bowl and in your fruit basket and in your ovens, the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your animals. So the kasha is, why does Hashem need to say V'nasati shalom ba'aretz? The psukim just told me B'chukosai begins Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Gimel, and now I'm a couple psukim later, I believe, and I'm having all of these beautiful blessings. So, why do you need to tell me V'nasati shalom ba'aretz? So Rashi says Shema Tomu Harei Machal V'Harei Mishta. You might say I have food, I have drink, I have charcuterie boards. Am I saying it right? Is that how you pronounce it? No, I'm not saying it right. charcuterie boards. Yeah, my kids taught me that. Okay, so I have charcuterie boards and I have fine wine. What else do I need? No, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. Im ein shalom ein klum. If there's no peace, there's nothing. Talmud lomer acho kozos v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. And that's why the pasuk says, and I will give peace in the land. Mikan, from here you learn, shahashalom shakul keneged hakol. Shalom is equal to everything else in the world. There's nothing as wonderful as shalom. So we began in the Mishnah about the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and the 10 generations from Noah to Avram. Then we went to the Sedra of Noah, Perikid Aleph. We looked at the 10 generations from Noah / Shem to Avram. Then we went back to the beginning of Perikid Aleph, and we looked at this very corrupt Dor HaFlager who were called from Be'ikar. But we saw something very, very interesting. And that is because they had Achdus, Safa Achadu, Dvarim Achadim, the Ribbono Shel Olam saved them. The Dor HaMabul were washed away, they were not. L'lamdecha Shagadol Hashoyim V'Sanui HaMechlokes. Then we went to the Mishnah, the Perikid Aleph, also Perik Aleph, Mishnah Yed Ches, Din Shalom and Emes, to the Pasuk and Bereishis, and Rav Yisrael Vayelau, Tachar, it's Desha, Din Shalom. Shalom and Emes. We spoke about God's name being Shalom, Birkas Kohanim ending in Shalom, the entire Shas ending with Shalom. We learned the Mishnah with Tosfos Yom Tov, who quotes the Medrash, who quotes the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, that Mashiach will announce himself with Shalom. And finally, from Sefer Vayikra Perech Avav, and Asati Shalom Ba'aretz, Shema Tomru Harei Macha, V'Harei Mishnah, Ein Shalom, Ein Klum. And if there is no Shalom, then there is nothing. A lot of food for thought. I hope Belinator part 2 will come next week. I really thank Miramakei Halev, tonight's sponsors. It should only bring Zechuyos Latova to you and your family. Sherry Dagani was sponsoring in honor of Miriam Goodman, and our Pirkei Avos Chabura, and Devorah Mayblum, who is sponsoring Lezeichar Nishmas and Liyului Nishmas, her mother Gittel Bas HaChaver Pinchas Tzvi, Aleha Hoshalom, whose Yurtzei was 30 Tishrei, corresponds to the first day of Rosh Chodesh, Chashvan. So I wish everybody, Be'ezor Hashem, a wonderful evening and a beautiful Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much, everybody. Laila Tov. We will continue next week, Mirtz Hashem. Thank you.